The Big Money Music Hour is presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards in historic Rocheport, Missouri. Now, whenever you get off the I-70 exit in Rocheport, Missouri, just right next to the Missouri River, and no matter what side you get off at the highway, one of the first buildings you will see is the tasting room and also the facility where they create a lot of the wine that they produce there for Les Bourgeois Vineyards. So there's the tasting room there. It's a great place to stop and try out some of the more than 20 different varieties of wine that they have available through Les Bourgeois. But also, if you head down State Highway BB there and just about a mile longer, go further down, you'll actually see the vineyards there on your left. And you pull in, and there are two other spots that you absolutely have to hit when visiting Les Bourgeois. There's the bistro, where they produce just some delectable food. It's a great place during normal times to get lunch or dinner, or better yet, if you're getting married or if you know someone that's getting married, it's one of the best spots in Missouri to host a wedding. It looks over the Missouri River Valley, and it is just a beautiful sight to behold, overlooking the Big Muddy itself. There's also their A-frame, in which you can have a more casual setting overlooking the same view, essentially. It looks a little bit further north up around the bend of the Missouri River, just down the way from the bistro itself. And you can get yourself a bottle of wine and a bread basket and snacks and other really great food to be able to just sit back with some friends and a picnic table and be able to take in the Missouri River Valley. Now, one of my favorite things to drink on a warm or hazy Missouri afternoon is their Captain's Cooler, which they have available there at the A-frame. It's one of my go-to drinks. It's essentially what I always tell people, it's like grape juice for adults. Well, lo and behold, the folks at Les Bourgeois are actually canning their Captain's Cooler. That's right. For the first time ever, Les Bourgeois has a canned product, and thankfully, they're bringing it to us in the form of their Captain's Cooler, which comes in two flavors, Bonfire Berry and Citrus Cruise. And I have to tell you, it is some of the most refreshing canned items I've had in a minute. It pairs very well with an open grill. I just had it last night while I was making chicken for the fam, and that plus some of my favorite quarantunes made for a lovely Missouri evening. So get you some. They sell them in six packs, available via curbside pickup, or they can be shipped and purchased online at MissouriWine.com. Hello and welcome to the Big Money Music Hour podcast presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards. I'm your host, Colin Laveau, the shameless voice. Thank you for tuning into our second podcast ever. And if you listen to our first podcast and or radio show, you might have heard me talk about the fact that our podcast and our radio show are pretty much going to have to be two different things. I can't play all of the artists that I can play on the radio as easily on podcasts, and even getting permissions from local and regional acts so that I can spin music on the podcast, it takes a little bit of work. And so all the same, I want to, even though I didn't have a guest per se on the show this week, which is going to be a rarity, I did that mainly because I took a fair amount of time at the beginning of the second episode and talked about the mission behind the Big Muddy Music Hour and what we're trying to do. And I am going to talk about that a little bit more here, just so you know where I have it in both spaces. But the bottom line is, the reason why I didn't put an interview in the second episode is due to the fact that I took some time talking about our mission and what we're trying to do with the Big Muddy Music Hour. I didn't want to gum things up with just too much talking head stuff. So I thought it was a good opportunity simply to lay out just some of the type of music that folks can expect to hear whenever they tune in to the episode. And then we're going to get back into interviews next week for the foreseeable future, essentially. We have Devin Gilfillian, who's going to be on the show next week, a Capitol Records recording artist. Week after that, it's going to be Jack Gu from Dead Bed Bad, Violet Vonderhaar, Molly Healy, and I have a handful of other interviews that I'm lining up right now. But those are the interviews I already have recorded. So back to just figuring out what I'm doing with the podcast this week. I'm improvising a little bit here, folks. This is, again, newish territory for me, but the reality is I can't play a full hour of music in the same way I did on the radio this week. So as a result, I'm going to talk with you a little bit and we're going to move through this together. I'm not going to lie. There's an aspect of this that might be a little bit self-serving. There's an aspect of this that is, honestly kind of therapeutic for me. It's, I'm not seeing any counselors during these difficult times, but I'm not going to lie. I'm recording this thing at the Stomping Grounds in Roachport. It's the place where we host parties for Peddler's Jamboree pre and post parties here. So if you've been to any of the Peddler's Jamboree pre or post parties, you know exactly where I'm at. And I talked a little bit about that, but coming up here, there's something about it for me that really just helps me clear my mind a little bit. And I'm new to talking into a microphone simply for the sake of creating content that other folks consume. But at the same time, and at first, you might even like listen to the pilot episode. And that was the very, very first time I was trying something out like this. And, even though it's a little bit stilted, I wanted to make sure we still put it out there. But, I like scripted out my questions, the points I wanted to hit, and X, Y, and Z, because, I wasn't sure that I could just drive home a discussion both with my Pat K and also for the audience and pull the points together just going off the seat of my pants. But after spending a few months honing in my novice level broadcasting abilities, I do feel comfortable just letting her rip at this point, for better or worse. We'll see. But there is something really freeing for me about being able to set this microphone up, hit record, and talk to you folks. So we're gonna roll with that. But before we get too deep into the week, which was a very momentous week in the passing of John Prine, very, very momentous historic occasion in music history. So we're gonna get into our mission and all of that and what we're trying to do here with the Big Money Music Hour here in a little bit. But you know what? I've been yabbing enough. Yeah, yabbing or yapping? I think it's yapping. I've been yapping enough. How about we listen to some music? Let's get into the music that I actually can play for you guys. And to kick things off, I'm going to turn it over to Ben Miller Band. So if you've never heard of Ben Miller Band, the dude is an absolute phenom, and he's gone through lineup changes over the years, but he's based out of Joplin, Missouri. Anyone that's been to Peddler's Jamboree multiple times over the years has more than likely seen Ben Miller on the side stage, or he was even a headliner one year, because this cat is just that good. And is such a true Missouri artist, kind of a jack of all trades type of dude, like Pat Kay, where he'll be driving the beat sometimes with a bass drum, or he'll be playing a cigar box guitar or banjo, switching instruments, playing harmonica, singing into an old school mic, singing into an actual old rotary phone piece hooked up to a mic stand. It's absolutely nuts, but he definitely embodies that Missouri resourcefulness and also just plays some damn good tunes. The song I'm going to play for you comes off of his 2014 release, Any Way, Shape, or Form. This is Hurry Up and Wait on the Big Money Music Hour, presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards. Hell yeah! That was Rollin' Pro by Columbia, Missouri Act, Don't Mind Dying. That is their newest release, released just a few weeks ago at Rose Music Hall. They had a big release party for it. Logboat Brewing Company actually made a beer that was named after that song. Rollin' Pro is an IPA. If you actually look at the label for the beer, it has five aliens, I'm assuming representing the five guys in Don't Mind Dying, rolling in their old red van, which I don't think they have that red van anymore. I think they ran that thing into the ground, but it's kind of iconic in terms of Don't Mind Dying. Their debut album had this red van, their old band van on the cover. Anyway, pretty cool collaboration there. It's great to see a company like Logboat supporting the scene in that way. And man, that song. How about that song? It's a little long, right? I mean, it's a long tune, but man, it is so juicy. I love it. It is definitely the best effort I've heard from those guys yet. And they just come to play every time and really dress to impress with their sound. This next tune is another brand new song from an act that isn't quite the Midwest. These ladies originally are from Colorado, though I think they claim Nashville as their home now. I think that we first booked Shell for the Peddler's Jamboree, I want to say back in 2013, and even then they just astounded us. Aside from having sisterly blood harmonies, their music is really original. I mean, there's really nothing quite like it. The music video for this song is absolutely stunning. They actually traveled to India to shoot this thing, and they've teamed up with a nonprofit there in India that supports over 20,000 widowed women in Vrindavan, India. Aside from taking time to hop on YouTube and check out the video, I hope you'll also go check out the nonprofit that they're supporting. It's called Hope Springs, in hopes of making a lasting impact to help restore color and dignity to widows in Vrindavan, India. Playing new music from Shell, it's Rainbow on the Big Money Music Hour.
I wanna feel your color surrounding me. I wanna know the treasure that you keep. When I look in your eyes, I know your fear. If you need a shelter, I'll be here. Let's share this heartbeat that shakes the ground around us, calls other colors to us in search of peace. We need each other now more than ever, so we stand together through the storm, shining for the world like a rainbow, strong through the storm like a rainbow, sending people hope like a rainbow, sending all our love like a rainbow.
Rain, rain.
We have more music of what's relevant from the country of the Midwest coming to you very shortly. But first, we want to give some love to the businesses that help make the Big Money Music Hour possible. And first up is the Mount Nebo Inn and Guide Service in historic Rocheport, Missouri. The Mount Nebo Inn is located directly across from the Katy Trail State Park Trailhead in Rocheport. The beautiful building has been a welcoming sight to visitors in Rocheport for over 100 years. Drew and Sarah Lemberger purchased the Mount Nebo Inn 2 years ago in the fall of 2018 with the goal of providing not only world-class lodging, but the opportunity to create unique experiences that will highlight Rocheport's area's finest products and services. There are many options for guests to enjoy: Missouri River sightseeing and fishing trips, guided vineyard tours, wine cellar tastings, food and wine events featuring local as well as international selections. Drew has been a Missouri River guide serving Central Missouri adventurers for the last 20 years. This year, Drew and Sarah are merging the guide service with Mount Nebo Inn to streamline the ordering process and offer more value for their guests. They have developed relationships with many of the area's top businesses to provide a personalized and more enriching experience than someone would usually expect from a tourist destination. They would love to help you design a visit or event that you will remember for a lifetime. So give their website a look at mountneboinn.com. You can also check them out on Facebook as well. Support also comes from Ozark Mountain Biscuit Company. Now, Ozark Mountain Biscuit Company is a food truck in the mid-Missouri area that makes some of the most delicious vittles that you can get anywhere, let it be a food truck or a brick-and-mortar restaurant. The owner, Brian Manis, is just a pro. He's one of the best chefs in the mid-Missouri area, and just because he operates out of a food truck, don't let that fool you. It is some of the best vittles you can get your hands on. Chances are, if you've been to Roots and Blues or at Logboat Brewing Company, the reality is you've probably at least seen them out, and if you've seen them out and haven't tried them, folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm not just saying this because they support the show. I have adored their delicious vittles for a very long time. And you need to get right with your life, folks, and try some of this amazing Southern-style food. But not only that, they also have their Ozark Mountain biscuits available in a take-and-bake version in the frozen section of area supermarkets. You can get it at the Root Cellar, you can get it at Clover's, and area Hy-Vee's. I mean, how about them apples? My goodness. They are the best biscuits I've ever had. I've thought that long before I had this show. They just nail it. They have perfected the biscuit in all of its glory. So get yourself some flaky, delicious biscuit action. For more information, visit OzarkMountainBiscuits.com. And we're back to normal programming. Thanks for listening to the Big Money Music Hour podcast presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards. I'm your host, Colin Laveau, the shameless voice. And I want to take a moment to talk about our mission because I talked about it on the radio show. But again, the reality of the second radio show is that I recorded that piece a couple months ago. And since I'm going ahead and recording a whole new podcast for this week, I figure I might as well take another stab at it. Hey, if only for just the practice, right? I'm getting better at this whole broadcasting and talking thing all the time, so I might as well come at it from a different angle because, you know, in particular when it comes to the reasons why the Big Money Music Hour is a thing, it's so important to me, and I'm not going to get hung up on it throughout the entirety of the series, but as people are coming on and listening to the series at the beginning, it's important to get it across, and I hope that this mission is just becomes inherently intrinsic in terms of the how and the why of why Big Money Music Hour is a thing to begin with. And the reality is I've had this idea for years, and at first I thought it was just going to be I was thinking about it in terms of a video music showcase first. I was thinking more along the lines of PBS as opposed to NPR. And I've always had the capability of making it happen. I've always had the tools available to me to do it, but I've just never had the time or been in position essentially where I could take the time to make it happen. But everything about my professional career and what I've been doing with my business with LV Creative in terms of the content that we're producing for businesses, both domestic and foreign, it's all been leading to a point to where I could build out time and bandwidth for myself to do something that is not only fulfilling to me on a personal level, but could hopefully will be fruitful enough for me to spend most of my time on it in the future. Honestly, if I could just focus on creating Big Muddy Music Hour content, that's a dream come true for me. And just these first few steps are merely stepping stones to get to that moment. And that's why it's so important for me to give so much thanks to the businesses that are supporting it. And also to the listeners that have tuned in and given me such love so far. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much you're helping to actualize a dream. And while everything I'm talking about might, at least as it comes out, as it's coming out of my mouth, it can sound kind of selfish, I guess, because it's about my dreams, my vision. But the reality is that I want to do something for the Midwest music scene that hasn't been done before. I want to magnify and amplify the absolutely astounding amount of great music from so many different genres that is born and bred out of right here in the middle of the country. I've been playing music for over 20 years in Decadent Nation, and I've been exposed to, even back when we started, I knew that we had something special, particularly in the Mid-Missouri area. And I'm not saying this to knock on other scenes, but there's something about Columbia that I swear, per capita, it just has more talented musicians per capita than I think most markets I've been to. And I feel very strongly in this conviction. And it's not just talented musicians, but really smart and ingenuitive songwriters and singers and songwriters and producers that creates this amalgamation, this scene in which different musicians are constantly rotating into other bands' lineups. I mean, take for instance just Devin and Kyle, who were in Decadent Nation. They also are in OK Samaritan, who we're going to be playing here in a little bit. Kyle and Devin are playing the same roles there. But Kyle also has played in bands like Brad Cunningham Band. His significant other is the incomparable Molly Healy. So he plays in the Molly Healy Band. He plays both upright and electric bass. He's also been the bass player for We Live in Public, OK Samaritan's former band. And Devin sits in with all types of groups. But then you take a look at like drummers like Ryan Hobart, who's in a gazillion different acts. And then you have Molly Healy that will sit in with just about anybody. And the reality is that everyone is learning from each other. Everyone's going round robin, and we're all growing together. And we're reaching out and getting our roots set, not only in our own sound, but also I feel like everyone plays off of each other. And there's even like a friendly competition aspect to it, to where everyone's supporting each other, but everyone's like, wow, Bernie Sisters really stepped it up with that last song. I need to up my game. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do to push the envelope further? And that ambition's always been there, but it just gets better all the time, particularly here in Mid-Missouri. And, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are other scenes that are just as good or similar. But what I do know is that there is a bevy of amazing artists that are out there in the Midwest period, but no one is paying attention to it. And it's so difficult for any band, let alone a scene, to get to another echelon of exposure, right? This isn't the 90s anymore. Seattle was banging around up there in the Northwest and producing such amazing talent as Blind Melon, Mudhoney, Mother Love Bone, into Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and it was hard to ignore And just by right of how the music industry worked back then, it behooved all the major labels to go up there and make the most of it. But everything's so fractured now, not just music, but media itself. We consume media through so many different facets. There's the traditional radio or TV, cable, streaming, you name it. Like there, YouTube, you just the fact that if there's anyone listening to this portion of the podcast at this point, right here, right now, if you're listening, that's a little minor miracle to me. I'm so thankful for you, because you could be doing plenty of other things. You could be watching teenagers play video games if you wanted to, but no, you're deciding to expose yourself to some really good music. So back to, and I digress, back to the mission and why the Big Money Music Hour is a thing. I wanted to work with an NPR station in particular because I have so much love and respect for the programming that NPR produces. Ever since I was a young kid, NPR has been in my mind, and KBIA in particular has been in my ears. My parents listened to it, and while I hated it at first as a kid, just riding around the car and hearing people talk all the time, boring, why are we listening to this? Can we listen to some music, please? Can we listen to the Beatles or whatever I was into when I was 5 to 10 years old? But it didn't take long. You know, by the time I was 12 I think I really enjoyed and appreciated NPR. Because, I mean, how can you not? And the reality of KBIA is I've had voices like Darren Helwidge, who's been there since the late 80s, in my ears for so long. And NPR produces so much of the great music programming that's out there. I feel like they're the standard bearers for quality music content, whether it's Austin City Limits, that's more PBS, but public media, I guess, in general. But Tiny Desk Concert, All Songs Considered, you name it. They're just the standard bearers for good stuff. And I want to be a standard bearer for good stuff. And I wanted to provide a platform for Midwest artists to step up there, to be able to showcase their stuff in all of its raw and beautiful glory. But I wanted to leave the door open. If you think about the tagline, playing what's relevant in music from the country of the Midwest and beyond, you think about that tagline, which comes from as a direct reference from the Bob Dylan song With God on Our Side, which I also play in this week's radio episode, but I cannot play here on the podcast. But I digress. Go that tagline, the beyond. I wanted to leave the door open to national artists because the reality is I'm going to have the opportunity, and I've already had the opportunity to interview national artists, which is awesome because it's going to hopefully get all of these national artists' fans to tune into the show and in turn tune into the Midwest artists that I'm playing. And it'll also add the gravity, and it'll also add the level of legitimacy that I'm going to need to be able to push the Big Money Music Hour into other radio markets, to put myself in a position where I can take it to other NPR stations across the United States and get them excited about it. And as I do that, and as the show grows, you had better believe that even if I'm going to be playing artists like Beck or Andrew Bird, I'm always and will always play music from the country of the Midwest. That's the bottom line. This is the mission. Everyone takes a look at how music changes, particularly artists, and wonder, how am I going to get ahead in this world in which there's such an overload of information and media that's made available to people? And it's my hope that the Big Money Music Hour can introduce folks to bands like the next one I'm going to play right here. The band actually features some guys that are in my band, Decadent Nation. Kyle, the bass player, Devin Burrow on lead guitar, are also both in OK Samaritan playing the same roles. But the band is headed up by an old friend named Jason Day. That's actually Kyle's brother. And those main three cats I just mentioned, used to be in a band years ago called We Live in Public. We Live in Public was one of the most exciting indie-style bands to ever come out of the area. And Devin and
Jason's songwriting prowess and harmonies in particular are really what made that act work. But under this new act that they've put together with drummer Noel Feldman of the Royal Furs, they've found a new harder-edged rocking vibe, and that vibe is definitely personified from the first track off of their new Wobble Top EP. This is Wobble Top by OK Samaritan on the Big Money Music Hour. That song was called Gibberish by Jefferson City Act, Downside Up. I absolutely adore those kids. They're a three-piece. They've been playing tunes in bars since high school, just like me. And actually, the last show the Decadent Nation played prior to the COVID outbreak, we shared the stage with them, which we've done many times. And they just get better and better. The drummer and guitar player and main vocalists are brothers Ryan and Aaron Mankin, and they're backed up by bass player Hunter O'Donnell. And unfortunately, I bumped them from the radio broadcast this week because of John Prine, who I'm about to talk about here in a second. I wanted to pay tribute to John Prine on the radio broadcast. And as a result, I had to bump this song, Gibberish, from the radio broadcast, but I wanted to make sure I put it in on the podcast. And aside from the fact that they have obviously such strong songwriting prowess and blood harmonies and really unique alternative rock sound, speaking of Seattle, I mean, come on, it's very much reminds me of some Blind Melon stuff. I've told them multiple times that their music reminds me of Blind Melon, which they I get jazzed about the fact that they get jazzed about that compliment, because they're very savvy to Blind Melon in that scene, and they just have a really authentic style of alternative rock that I adore it. I love those cats. I love those kids. I also want to draw attention to just how good that song sounded, and the mixing and audio production sounds so great because it was none other than Jack Gu who recorded, mixed, and mastered it, and has been helping those kids with getting some of their content out there recently. Jack is not only an amazing sound engineer, but he's also the genius behind Dead Bed Bad, who is going to be our focus on the Big Money Music Hour in a couple weeks. But tell you what, man, it really helps the scene whenever we have folks like Jack who just have such an intrinsic understanding of how to make make recorded music sound so great. So good stuff all around there. And as I mentioned, the reason why I bumped Downside Up from the radio broadcast this week was so I could play a song by John Prine and talk about John Prine. And as we wrap up the podcast this week, I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment to recognize this beautiful man's impact on the world of music. I said on the radio broadcast, going back to the tagline of playing what's relevant, there's rarely been a moment over the last 50 years in which John Prine has not been relevant when it comes to music. Even his last album that he put out, the Tree of Forgiveness, just was an absolute masterwork, like so many of his other albums. I played the song Summer's End on the radio show. But if you haven't checked out that album and you like John Prine's work, you need to go and listen to it, because you'll realize that even in his elder years, he just never missed a step. He was the poet laureate of the human condition, and the ways in which he was able to construct and put such meaningful and beautiful songs together was truly something to behold. And we were all so lucky to live in a world in which John Prine was a man that created music for our pleasure. And it's rare. I mean, I don't even know if I want to say it's probably been since Chris Cornell, maybe, or Prince, that I've seen a musician whose death has affected so many people at such a level. It just seems like if you're into music, and then if you're really into music, then you're into John Prine. I've seen people I know that are into EDM or reggae, that's what I know them as being into, or heavy metal, and they were just torn up about losing this beautiful soul. And I do think that a good portion of that is more than likely related to the fact that he was such an enigmatic and important songwriter for our times. But I also have to wonder if the grief that folks are feeling could be tied to just our coping and dealing with the isolationism of
COVID-19 and this new reality that's been forced upon us, in which millions of people are out of work all of a sudden and don't have health care, and there's an influx of just absolute insanity on social media. Like, I've never seen so many paranoid conspiracy theories in my life, and I'm really gonna fight the urge to talk about the politics of the situation, because this is a music show. But my goodness, it's just beyond the fact that it's difficult enough to maintain a level head and a positive attitude during these times. We're so clouded with nonsense at every turn, and I feel like, I don't know about you all, but at least for me personally, the biggest struggle for me, while the whole financial aspect of the ever-changing economy has affected my business, as it has affected everybody else's, the biggest struggle for me is just trying to keep a strong face about it and be there for my family and try and be a positive influence in this world, not only for them but for everybody, and just to try and keep my keep my chin up at the end of the day. And I think that's probably the biggest struggle that we're all going to have, outside of the immediate struggles that we all feel. So I do have to wonder, because I just saw so much, I've never felt so much agony on social media, even whenever there was the passings of some of the other folks I talked about, Prince and Chris Cornell, which really affected me on a personal level. I saw a Soundgarden 3 days before Chris Cornell hung himself, and it led us to even do a one-time tribute show to him to donate funds to suicide awareness. But I digress on that. Beyond those deaths, I have to wonder that if seeing the outpouring of agony as a result of this man's death wasn't just a cry into the darkness for the loss of his beautiful life, but if also it was an opportunity for folks to find a grief point for themselves throughout this difficult time and process, because we have to put on that strong face for our families and each other, and we have to stay positive. We really have to stay positive. But I wonder if the grieving of John Prine didn't allow those individuals that cared about him so much to essentially release a emotional pressure point in their lives and allow them maybe to grieve in a honest way for the first time, or for in a meaningful moment for these times that we're living through. But these times that we're living through will pass. And I know that, you know that in the back of your head, even if it's difficult to see it, it will pass. And as Samwise Gamgee said in The Lord of the Rings, whenever the sun shines, it will shine all the brighter. I guarantee it. And until we get to that point, we're super lucky in the fact that we have music to help get us through these times. And so to close out the show this week, I want to close out with a happy tune. I want to close out with a tune that is specific to the podcast this week alone. I'm not airing it on the radio show, which, as you're going to come to find, there might be some more musical content that you'll get on the podcast that you don't get on the radio show. I still want to encourage you to tune in to the KBIA radio show at every opportunity, because I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into those shows and making something that's exemplary. But we're going to close out the show with a pick-me-up. How about it? And to close us out this week is none other than phenomenal Columbia act Loose Loose. These cats are a bunch of young kiddos that are in or straight out of the University of Missouri School of Music. We're going to be featuring them on the radio show next week. But in the meantime, I want to play a track separate from what I'm going to be playing next week, from one of their two fabulous 2019 EPs released. This is from the 2019 EP, Sanguine. This song is called What's Mine Is Yours on the Big Money Music Hour. Ba, 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 ba.
can show you the world. Sunsets and moon.
Give it to you.
Tell me, tell me, tell me.
strange, yet it's simple when you know how it works.
And that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Money Music Hour podcast presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards. My name is Colin Lavote, the shameless voice. Be sure you tune in to the radio show every week on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Central on 91.3 KBIA FM or KBIA.org. We are just starting to peel this onion, folks. There are so many layers to all of the amazing music that is being made and has been made in the country of the Midwest. And I hope that you're going to join me both on the radio and on the podcast in weeks to come. So without any further ado, this is Colin Lavoe, the shameless voice, signing off. The Big Money Music Hour, presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards, is produced by LV Creative and KBIA FM, an NPR station broadcasting from Columbia, Missouri. The show is written, hosted, and edited by Colin Lavote. Theme song written by Pat Kay. Outro song written by Crip Trip. Videographer is Matt Matlack of LV Creative. Co-produced by Kyle Felling, Mike Dunn, and Alicia Lavoe. Be sure to subscribe to the Big Money Music Hour wherever you find your podcasts. The Big Money Music Hour is presented by Les Bourgeois Vineyards, located in Rocheport, Missouri. Les Bourgeois has been a mid-Missouri winery for more than three decades, with over 20 different wines ranging in style and sweetness. Les Bourgeois Vineyard wines are available at your local retailer and online at missouriwine.com.